Let's go into the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity this morning. There is no contradiction. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. There is no contradiction. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. At the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is what? Glorified. Praise God. Matthew's Gospel 16. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said unto him, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. Then he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" So it means that God wants to, or Jesus knows that there's an importance in the revelation of himself. So he's asking them who they think, or who they think, you know, he is. So he says, But whom say ye that I am? 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." But Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not what? Revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Yesterday we began to examine what the rock is, and we found out that the rock is who? Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "The spiritual rock which the fathers did drink spiritual water from," which the rock is who? Christ. You know, Acts 4 tells you that what? "The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Yeah, the stone is Christ, right? Romans 9 tells you that I lay in Zion a rock. I lay in Zion a stone, right? Romans 9:28, Acts 4:9-11. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:10, we saw that. You know, you will see that the psalmist will say in Psalm 18 verse 2 says something. I'll just read it out. Psalm 18 verse 2 verse 32. Verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock." Where do you suppose the psalmist is getting that knowledge from? The writings of Moses. So the Lord is my rock and my fortress. So it means that in the rock we find fortress. Are we together? And my deliverer. So it means that in the rock we find deliverance. Are we together? He says, "My God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation." In verse 31, he now says something very interesting. He says, "For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God?" Are we together? Psalm 40 verse 2 says something very interesting again. Psalm 40 verse 2 shows us something interesting again. See Psalm 40 verse 2. He says, "He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." Are we together? Psalm 62 verse 2. Psalm 62 verse 2. "He only is my rock and my what? Salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." He is my rock. He is my salvation. So we try to explain the rock as Christ. Is the rock the seed? Is the rock the seed? Is the rock the bread? Is the bread the word? Is the word the wine? Is it the juice? Is it the meat? Are we together? So the rock is the seed. So we went back to Moses to see his use of rock. And we saw in Exodus 33 that Moses spoke about what? God saying, "I will hide you in a where? Cleft." Is that right? In the rock. We said the word cleft is to bore a hole. Right? There is a place in me. So the cleft that is to bear a hole is to house a man. And the housing of the man is entirely found in the rock, which is the rock of salvation, which is the resurrection. Are we together? So when God covered, when Moses was talking about God covering his eyes, what does that mean? It means that when I remove my hand, you will see ahead. That means you will see ahead the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. So, he that sees my face shall live. Did you correct that? Because the promise of God is life, not death. So it cannot be that God was saying, Moses, if you see my face, you will die. No, we saw the word there, face, as appearance. Are we together? Or presence. So if you see my presence, or he that sees or partakes of it, will what? Will live. And we said that John 1:17 says that no man at any time has seen God, verse 18, except the only begotten. We said Jesus is the only begotten in the incarnation, remember that? And the first begotten in the what? Resurrection. So it says, no man has seen God at any time except the only begotten. Are we together? So no man includes Moses. In verse 17, it says, the law was offered by Moses. So John did not forget the man called Moses. And Exodus 33. Are we together? Yeah? 1 Timothy 6:16. Yeah? God dwells in a light unapproachable, which no man has ever seen nor will see. So the best of mankind we will see is who? The person of Jesus. Or rather, the best of God mankind will see is the what? Person of Jesus. So, I will remove my hand from your face. Is Moses talking about what? Moses will see. Moses says, show me your glory. Are we together? And this was after Moses had recorded in Exodus chapter 1 to 32, the mighty miracles. The wonderful miracles. So, he has seen glorious miracles. Are we together? Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Moses and Jesus, I've asked you before. Who performed more miracles? It can't be Jesus. Are we together? At least as recorded in scriptures. Are we together? Let me give you an example. What did Jesus do with water? He turned water to wine. Are we together? What did Moses do with water? He led millions of people through the sea. Which one is bigger? Jesus fed his disciples. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Moses fed millions of people for years. Are we here? Moses fed people for years. Are we together? So if you look at the ratio of Jesus' miracles to Moses' miracles, it's like one third. Are we together? Don't let us start going into details of his miracles. But just agree that Moses is a miracle worker. Are we together? So Moses had seen those miracles before. He said, show me your glory. Yet the man who now reveals the glory of God did not do as much miracles as Moses. So it means that the glory Moses was looking for was not the glory of miracles. Are we together? The Bible doesn't record a single miracle that John the Baptist performed. Yet Jesus says he is greater than all prophets. Do you get that? There's no miracle you can see of John the Baptist, but Jesus said he is greater than all. So it means that the glory of Jesus, the glory of God, you can see it in miracles, is just a tip compared to the what? We beheld his glory in John 1:14. Bible says that now we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace, which is the what? Reality. Praise God. So now, we established that yesterday. We are going further. We also stated that what? The fulfillment of the promise of the seed started with what? Incarnation. Did you get that? Yeah? The fulfillment of the promise of the seed. Genesis. So let's go to Genesis 3:15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. What did he say? He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. So, there is a fulfillment of the seed bruising. And we said that the seed that will bruise will be a man. Did you get that? So, it means that, now remember, if we backtrack, we looked at something yesterday. We saw that Adam and Eve had the promise. Eve thought that the promise of the seed will be who? Cain. Then she got disappointed because it was an assassin, right? The murderer, right? Then she thought it was Abel at the time, but Cain now killed that Abel. Are we together? Then she thought it was who? Seth. So up until that time, we start seeing the genealogy of mankind up until Jesus. And we said something yesterday, the genealogy of scriptures is to end with the person of Christ. Are we together? So up until Christ, we now see the genealogy of, the reason for the writings of genealogy in scriptures is to bring or to show the fulfillment of the man Christ. Are we together? So we said the seed was a promise, and the beginning or the fulfillment of that promise of the seed began with the incarnation. So if you exclude the incarnation from your belief in the gospel, you are not believing aright. You cannot believe the resurrection without believing in the incarnation. So if you want to disprove his incarnation, you can as well disprove his resurrection. Are we together? We saw yesterday that the temptation, did Jesus go through temptation? Yeah, so the temptation of Jesus is to show his humanity. Are we together? Did Jesus cry? John 11:35, Jesus wept. Are we together? Did Jesus eat food? Did he eat food? Not spiritual food, right? Did he eat food? Did Jesus sleep? He slept, though. Now let me now show you something. You know, the sleep of Jesus was not spiritual sleep. It's not the one that was simply like this. Somebody wants to come and carry his phone and say, will you come and drop it? You think I cannot see you? No, when he slept, that was to show his human part. Are we together? So Jesus was in the flesh, or Jesus came in the flesh, and that was the beginning of the fulfillment of what? The promise. Now we've looked at the incarnation. Let's go into the what? The death. The death, right? Are we together? So let's look at the death a little. Mind you, let me bring your attention back to something. Luke 24, verse 24, right? Certain of them went to sepulchre and found it even so as women had said before time, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, oh what? Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have what? Spoken. What did the prophet speak in summary? Ought not Christ to have suffered? So it means that we cannot believe the resurrection without believing the suffering. Are we together? Because the prophet spoke about his suffering. So, ought not Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory? Are we together? Acts 26, 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day witnessing both to weak and strong, small and great, saying no other thing than those which Moses and the law and the prophets did say should come to pass. That Christ will what? Suffer. First Peter chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. It says, searching what the message of Christ aforetime, you know, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, that the prophet did search ahead. That's First Peter 1, verse 9 to 12. So it means that a very vital aspect of our Christian faith is what? The suffering, the death of Jesus. Are we together? So let's do a quick study on death. Where do you have the word death mentioned first in the Bible? Genesis what? Genesis, right? Run there. Genesis 2, 16, quickly. Genesis 2, verse 16. Genesis 2, 16. Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded that the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt therefore eat, thou shalt what? Surely die. So what is the consequence of eating of the tree that they were not supposed to eat from? Death. Right? Now, the question now becomes, did Adam eat of that fruit? Yeah, because we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 8, that Moses shows that Adam ate. Now, after eating of that fruit, was Adam still alive? Are we together? So it means that death will deal with a separation from something. Or let me say it better. Death will mean to be without life. You get that? Death will mean to be without life. Are we together? I'll say that again. Death will mean to be without life. So, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. It means that thou shalt be without a life. Are we together? So, the consequence of eating that tree is to be without life. But was Adam still alive? Yes. Are we following? So, we've explained in the series of salvation that the death there is not literal death. Because Adam lived for years after that, yet he was dead. So the death will be what? Separation. Please follow attentively, right? Now, I started saying something yesterday even before we went home. I said, God did not make Adam with eternal life. Now, if you infer that God made Adam with eternal life, it will mean that when Adam disobeyed, God removed his life from him. And that means a man can lose salvation. You didn't get that? You didn't get that? If God made Adam with eternal life and Adam now disobeyed, it now means that God got angry. It will mean that what Adam did to God unawares. So he shocked God. Then God now said, because of this thing, I'll remove my eternal life. No, God did not create man with, or did not create Adam with eternal life. God created Adam with a biological life. I've started teaching, you know. God created Adam with a biological life. That life was to be sustained by the eternal life. You know, this aspect of our Christian faith is a full seminar on its own. But I'll just tell you the basic truths that are found in Genesis. It's a full seminar that we cannot finish in 1 month if we teach every day for 5 hours. Okay? So God created Adam with a biological life. Right? And that biological life was to be sustained with or to be sustained by the eternal life. That is why you will realize that at the, look at it now, at the point when God was having a conversation with Adam, the day you eat, you will die. Adam had a life. For him to have had that conversation to make a choice, it means that he had a life. Does that make clear? For Adam to have had a reason to make a choice, it means that he had a life in existence. So he had a life to choose between eternal life, and by extension, by rejecting that, you choose the order of eternal life. Now, take note of this in your study, that Adam was a unique man. Please, take note of, if you don't write anything today, please write this one, and every other thing I will say afterwards. Yeah? Adam was a unique man. Adam was a unique man. So, don't begin to think of Adam as a baby. Then he grew up. No, no, no. Adam was a what? Unique man. Beautiful. So God created Adam, I will recap that. God created Adam, right, with a biological life in view of eternal life. So it is in that biological life when he makes his choice that he will receive eternal life. Did you get that? Please follow attentively, okay? He was created with a biological life in view or in lieu of eternal life. Why was the eternal life in view? Because God wanted to consider the volition or the choices of man. If God had created Adam without with eternal life, God will mean it will mean that Adam would have been a puppet. What's a puppet? A puppet is a robot. A robot will only do what the instructor or the commander says it should do. Are we together? So God had a plan for eternal life. But God gave Adam the choice and the ability to make his what? Decision. So, that means that the biological life of Adam was to be extended. Are we following? Are we following? The biological life of Adam was to be extended. What will extend it? Eternal life. How will eternal life extend it? Making a choice. Are we there? Are we there? So it means that the biological life can, you can look at the biological life as a rent. So God wanted to create the universe, but wanted man to live, or wanted man to have eternal life. But in the real sense, if he forces eternal life on man, it will mean that he imposed it. He neglected the free will of man. Are we here? So you can say the biological life that Adam had just before he was given the opportunity to make a choice was like a rented life, a rented apartment. How do we rent it? He was to use that life to be able to make a choice. Did you get that? It's like Brother Iri now. Yeah? Brother Iri has known his wife for a few years before they got married. Before Brother Iri went to meet her parents, Brother Iri was already saying, you are mine. Yes or true? Yeah? So you just say yes, you say true. Yeah? So, Brahiri, in view of the final decision of her parents, was already calling her mine. But what brings into full reality is the full assurance the parent gives. Do you get that? So, in lieu of you being the mother of his kids, he was already dating you. in view or in lieu of what God will give, yet which God in his very infinite mercy considered the volition and decision and choice of man, right? He created what? Man. Are we together? Let me show you something quickly in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. Yeah? I need to take it a step further again like yesterday, okay? In speed, okay? So 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised up in what? In corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in natural body. It is raised in what? Spiritual what? Body. Now take note. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Did you see that? And also, and so it is written, the first man was made a living soul. Did you get that? The first man was made a living soul. Who is the first man? Adam. Right? Did you get that? Adam, right? So the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who is that? Christ, was made a quickening what? Spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Does this explain what I've been talking about this morning? Does this explain what I've been talking about this morning? Look at it again. He says what? He says what? Howbeit, that was not first spiritual, but that which is what? Natural. Then afterwards, that which is what? Spiritual. So Adam was made naturally to receive spiritual life to extend his natural. Did you get that? Or to extend his life. Let me stick with that word. Yeah? So look at it again. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. Look at verse 47. The first man is of the what? Earthy. The second man is what? The Lord from heaven. Is that a child of the Holy Ghost? Did you see that yesterday? What scripture did we use? Matthew 1, 16, 17, 18. So, it says that what? As it is earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the what? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Where is the first use of the word image? Genesis. Now, have you noticed that there are two uses of image in Genesis? I'll show you quickly. Genesis 1:27. Man, God created man in his image, in his image created he him. So, there are two images that must come to the mind of a man. Both, that is the earthy image and God's image. Look at verse 39 again. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the what? Heavenly. Go to Genesis 5 quickly. So, there's image of the earthly, there's image of the heavenly. So, look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Genesis 5 verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of who? Adam. We did speak about his earthly generation. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Now look at verse 2 carefully. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name what? Adam. Did you get that? Remember, we taught in salvation series that Adam was not used only for the first man. Are we together? We can see male and female called Adam. Now, look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in what? His own likeness after what? His image. So, this image and likeness is that of man. Is it different from image and likeness of Genesis 1:27? The image of God in Genesis 1:27 is who? Last Adam. This image and likeness, is it not the image of Adam? So what does that mean? Adam procreated after his kind. All together. So the immediate child of Adam will be in the image of Adam. Does that make it clear? Go back to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 16 to 17. Look at verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. So, first of all, from 1 Corinthians 15, it means that the Adam's earthly body was to bear the image of the heavenly. Think about everything I say today, okay? Adam's biological body was to eventually receive the image of the heavenly. I mean, that's what I've been saying since morning now. That he was created with biological life and was given a choice to make. Are we together? Now, he says that of every tree, the day you shall eat, you shall surely die. Now, over time, the day Adam ate it. Now, let me backtrack a little. Did Moses show us that Adam ate it? Did Adam die? Yes and no. Are we together? So Adam died, yes and no. The death of Adam, the death Adam died was the death of what? Spiritual death. Okay, hold on. Let me show you something again. Go back to Genesis 5. You are in Genesis 3, 5, right? Genesis 5. Look at Genesis 5, verse 3. Genesis 5, 3. Genesis 5, 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name what? Seth. Now look at verse 4. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. So it means that at least on a minimum, after Adam disobeyed or rejected, he lived for 800 years. Did you get that? Look at that again. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were what? 930 years, then he died. But I thought he died in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. So Adam died, then he died. The instruction was that when you eat of this tree, what will happen? Thou shalt surely die. But it took Adam 930 years to die. So it means that the first die in chapter 2 and chapter 3 will speak about a separation. Take note of that. The first death will be about a separation. While the second death will be that man will understand death by an experience. The first death, yeah? What did I say? I can't remember. A separation, right? Death was way about a separation. What did I say at first? I said separation is without a life. So, the first death will speak about a separation, to be without a life. And the second death will be gotten or will be understood by experience. So man will understand death by experience. Man will understand the... So, okay, let me allow you to finish writing, saying this. Adam will understand the first death. Please don't lose me here, okay? Adam will understand the first death by dying. Did you get that? Look at it, you know, God said if you eat, you will die. What did the devil say? Forget him, don't worry, he doesn't want your eye to be open. You know, when Adam did what he did, and he was still alive, it's almost as though the devil was correct. Did you get that? God said you will die, the devil said you will not die. You ate, you did not die, who is correct? It's not the devil. So it means that we need to look at this carefully. So it means that the death of Adam, which is the separation, Adam will understand that death by an experience afterwards. Death primarily is to be without a life. This will help us in understanding what Jesus did, okay? So, we see that Adam didn't die physically, but yet he was dead. In his death, he was alive. So, I can say in his death, into bracket, separation from God, he was alive. Did you get that? So, death will be without life. And the death that happened to Adam in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 will be to be without a type of life. What life is that? The life that comes from the tree of life. That is eternal life. Immortal life. Are we together? So it wasn't that Adam had eternal life, and after he now rejected, God now said, I'll remove my life from you. No. God created Adam in view of Adam making the choice to pick eternal life. That is why right now, see what has happened. Let me help you a little. See what has happened. Right now, even though we die, we now receive the eternal life that Adam would have received. And we'll live forever. Are we together? So mankind now can understand what happened to Adam by seeing the death amongst mankind. So when you see a man die, you see he's a man without life. In understanding that, you see, Adam was a man without life. What did Jesus do? Jesus came to what? Put a replacement, such that now, the first thing, what happens to a man when he dies physically, if he receives of God's life by his choice, he will live forever. Are we here? Keep following, okay? So, What did Adam do? Adam refused God's promise of what? Of what? Life. Right? So, and in doing that, what happened to him? He what? He died. So, did death originate from God? Think about it very well. Did death originate from God? Beautiful. So, where did death come from? Man's rejection. Did you get that? So, is death sin made? Okay, hold on. Is sin man made? Is sin man made? Sin is man made. So, sin is something man does. Are we together? And what is the result of sin? Death. So, is sin man made? Is death sin made? Yes. Man, sin. If man had not done A, B will not come. So, man does A, and A produces B. So, A, man does A, which is what? Sin made. Altogether sin. Then sin now produces what? Death. What is that death? Separation, to be without life. Are we together? So, when God said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? Was it because God did not know? So, it means that God's asking Adam of where are you was to show Adam's position. I'll say that again. God's asking Adam, where are you, was to show or to reveal Adam's location. Which will actually eventually show that Adam did something in isolation of God. Are we together? So, Adam, where art thou? It was not because God did not know, but God was, you know, we said something yesterday, God talks in rhetorics. And when a God talks in rhetorics, it means you pay attention to what is being said. Is being said. Are we together? So, God asking Adam where thou was to reveal Adam's location, which would be his location in isolation of God. Now, was God present in Adam's sin? Was God present in Adam's sin? Was God present in Adam's sin? No. Was God absent in Adam's sin? Hallelujah. That's why you now see Genesis 3 verse 22. Look at Genesis 3 verse 22. Genesis 3, 22. We did a teaching on this within the salvation series. Look at it. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. And we said that the word as one of us actually speaks about being different from. I don't care that. Or to be away from. So unless he put forth his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat, and what will happen? Live forever. Glory to God. So there was a man who was made, and in view of eternal life, God gave him a choice. Are we here? Beautiful. Let's look at James. See how James explains it. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, 13. James 1, 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. So did God tempt Adam? Did God tempt Adam? God cannot tempt. See where temptation comes from. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his what? Lust. And what? Enticed. Then when the lust had conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? Yes. Does this explain what I've explained in the last 10 minutes? Yes. Yes, so sin is man-made. And sin comes as a result of what? Lust. Did you get that? Sin comes as a result of lust. Repercussion of sin now becomes what? Death. So death is sin-made. Sin is man-made. So death is man-made. Eventually. Beautiful. Now look at verse 16. It now says, do not err. The word there, air, means do not be misled by your experience or knowledge. That means do not be misled. I'll say it again. The word air means do not to be misled by experience or knowledge. The word err is to be misled by experience or knowledge. So do not err will mean do not be misled by your experience or knowledge. My what? Beloved Adelphos, beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So it means that James chapter 17 is talking about two types of men. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 15, we speak about a type of man. Who is that man that James is explaining? The one which lost brought forth sin and sin death. Who is that? Say it now, if you know it, say it. Adamu. Adamu. Are we together? So Genesis chapter, James chapter 1, 13, 15 explains man in independence of God. That means man allows lust in his heart, and lust brings forth sin, then sin brings forth what? Death. So what is God's action? See God's action in verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us. Is that the second Adam? Is that the second Adam? Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruit of what? His creature. This is creature. Is that the new creature? The new creation? Beautiful. Now, let's pay a little attention to a few words then. It says, where, verse 15, look at verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away. The word there, drawn away, means to be dragged off from. Drawn away means to be dragged off from. By the time he now tells you of his own lust, it means that the lust is private. Are we together? Adam's lust is not necessarily your lust. You know, lust differs across the board. What I love might not be what you love. That's why if you ask five people to go into a supermarket and pick anything at any cost, what you pick is not what I'll pick. Some will pick chewing gum. Some will pick Robo. You know what Robo is? Yeah. Some will pick fish biscuits. Some will pick sunshine. I said fish biscuit, not fish. We're not talking about garden now. Why some will go and pick iron? Some will pick PS4. Now I'm talking, right? Some will pick PS5. So it differs across board. So he says his own. It means that this lust in James chapter 1 is a private lust. Are we together? Now, what is the word lust? The word lust is the word that means a longing which is forbidden. The word lust is a word that means a longing, a desire which is forbidden. So, but every man is tempted when he is dragged off from or taken unawares by his private lust and enticed. And when the lust has been conceived, what will be to conceive there? He tells you there, it bringeth forth. So, to conceive means to what? Generate? To birth? Are we together? Yeah? Or to lay hold together with? So, what now happened? It bringeth forth. What does it mean to bring forth? Is that fruitfulness? So what is the fruit of lust? Hold on, you went too far. What is the fruit of lust? What is the fruit of sin? Beautiful. Are we together? So it now says, do not err. What does it mean to not err? Do not be carried away or led away or led astray by your experience or what? Knowledge. So look at verse 17. It now says, every good gift. Now the word there, gift, is the word doses in Greek. Please pay attention to what I'm saying right now, okay? And to the end of the meeting. Every good gift, the word there, gift, is the word doses, D-O-S-I-S, doses. And it's a word that describes the giver or the giving, not the gift. Doses describes the giver or the giving, but not the gift. So you will see two gifts in your Bible. Is that true? Every good gift and every perfect gift. So it is every good gift and every perfect gift. The two gifts are not the same Greek words. The first gift is doses. The second gift right now is dorema. Not dorime. Dorema. Latire. How do I know it, Pastor? So, the first gift is doses, the second one is dorime, right? Dorima. Dorima, Dorima, D-O-R-E-M-A. Don't spell Dorima in your book. The pastor, just try to write it so I'll not forget. So it's Dorima. Are you, even godly like this? It is Dosis, then Dorima. Now, Dorima describes the effect of the giving, or the effect of the gift on the recipient. Dorima describes the effect of the gift on the recipient. First word gift is Dosis. Second word gift is Dorima. Dorima describes the effect of the giving or the effect of the gift. While Dosis describes what? The giver or the giving. Now, he says, from the Father of life, to whom there is no variableness. So the word perfect, rather, every perfect gift, the word there perfect means accomplished or finished. I want to get that. So he says, the Father, and every gift and every perfect gift is from above. Above is the word that speaks of from a different realm. From a different realm than the normal. So when you see a man must be born from above. Did you get that? John 3. So now with what I've given you, let's reread James 1:16. What's the word air? Quickly read your notes, What's the word air? To be misled by your experience or knowledge. What's the word gift? Speaks about giving or giver. Are we together? Yeah, what is the word Dorima? Everybody's loud on that one because I spoke about Dorime. The effect of the giving on the recipient. So, a good way to read that can be what? Do not be misled by your experience or knowledge, my beloved brethren. Every good giving and every finished effect of the giving. Did you get that? Every good giving and every effect, every perfect or every finished or completed effect of the giving is from above. And cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no what? Variableness. Verse 18 now tells you what? Of his own will begat us. Now, is this familiar and similar to 1 Corinthians 15 when it says the earthly image and heavenly image? Wait, did we read 1 Corinthians 15 today? Yes. Earthly and heavenly. In James 1:13 to 19, which one is the earthly? By the lust. So the man tempted by lust. That is the heavenly. That's the beautiful. You got it. Yeah? So the man that is the man that begat of his own free will. That is the what? So what is the perfect gift? Is the perfect gift that is the finished gift of the heavenly. Of the heavenly giver. Remember, the first gift is about the giving. Of the giver. So James is teaching about two types of men. One God's man, is that Christ? And the other man who allowed sin. Are we here? Are we gonna? Beautiful. Now let's look at what existed before Adam's sin. Or what was God's plan before Adam's sin? Remember, I didn't say before Genesis. There's a difference, so 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Let's run through the scriptures quickly. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Let's read the next part together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that before the world began, Christ Jesus was a plan. Did you get that? Before the world began, Christ Jesus was a plan. Are we together? So, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, in the real sense, a good way to just read that is at the beginning. Did you get that? Titus 1:2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read Titus 1, 2 together. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. So, eternal life is God's promise before the world began. So, can we say eternal life has been God's promise from the beginning? Did you get that? So from the beginning, eternal life has been God's promise. Look at Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5, are we there? What does it say? 1, 2, 3, go. Having predestinated us, let's go back together. Let everybody get there. Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having 1, 2, 3, go. Now, look at verse 4. Let's read verse 4 again. 1, 2, 3, go. So God's plan from the beginning is to see a people without blame. Is that true? Holy? Are we together? Beautiful. So God, before the foundation of the world, or God at the beginning, had a plan for man to fit into his man. I'll say that again. God, from the beginning, had a plan for mankind to fit into his man. Who is that his man now that we see? Okay, we are there, right? God, from the foundation of the earth, has wanted mankind to fit into his man. Look at Revelation 22, verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have what? Where do you suppose he's teaching from? Beautiful, right? So, that they might have the right. So, do you think he's talking about a man there? Say it again. He says, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the what? City. Before you get to chapter 20, look at chapter 13, Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8. Remember, we've been seeing from Timothy, from Titus, Ephesians, that God's plan from the beginning of time has been life for man. Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me ask you a question. Was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Look at it again. It says, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Really, there's a syntax, you know, correction we need to put to that. But since we're not paying attention to Revelations in this series, let me just help you a little. So, when it says, written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Book of life, a better way to read that would be, written in the book of life from the foundation of the world of the Lamb slain. I'll help you again. Hold on. Written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. No, it is written in the book of life. Did you get that? From the foundation. Remember, from the beginning, God had a plan. Let's not go into that. Yeah. So, whose names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world of the Lamb slain? So, the world of the Lamb slain. Let's leave that one for now. So, it means that from the beginning, in the beginning, eternal life has been God's promise for mankind. Have we tried to prove that without argument? Right? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Are we together? What is the light? Life. Light to men. That is life to men. Beautiful. We looked at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We spoke about the image of God. Is that clear? Now, we looked at 1 Corinthians 15 and spoke about what? The last and first Adam. So, what was Paul doing in 1 Corinthians 15? He was making a comparison between what? The first, last Adam. He says the first Adam is what? Earthly of the earth. Second Adam is what? Heavenly. Who is second Adam? Christ. So, when we looked at Genesis, we saw the first image. Is that Christ? Is that heavenly? We saw the second image, Genesis 5. After Adam, right? Adam gave birth to his children after his kind and likeness. Is that earthly? Beautiful. Now, remember the series of salvation. We looked at God said man needed a helpmate. Remember that? Is the helpmate a woman? What's the helpmate? A deliverer. Is her. Remember that teaching? What is Isa? Isa is the one that will bring deliverance, that will deliver. And we saw the use of that word across the Old Testament books. Right? It's not women that delivered men. Yeah, so the helpmeet as used in scriptures is what? The help that God will supply in the resurrection. Are we here? Have you got them? So it means that the help will supply a rescue, or the help will be a rescue mission. Let me ask you a question. What rescue mission will it be? Take it back, a step back. Man was created with a biological life in view of eternal life. So God wanted man to choose eternal life, but he didn't want to force it on man. So man did something, and that is man rejected eternal life. So man, but the fact that man rejected it did not change God's mind and plan for man. Did you get what I'm saying? I'll say it again. The fact that man rejected what Adam gave. So the fact that man rejected what God gave did not change God's mind on what he was giving. Because he is a good giver that gives perfect gifts. Are we together? So what will man need? Man will need a rescue. Look at it this way. God created man. Everyone look at me, please. God created man, right? And man is at this point. Man is to make a choice to go either right or left. Right is eternal life, immortal life. Left is what? Rejection. Okay. Right is God's acceptance. Are we together? Left is what? Bros. So what should I be drinking? Me that I'm sweating. My tongue is sweating. Everything about me is sweating. So right is eternal. Left is rejection. That one is not eternal. You see, Moses knew why he had to use food to communicate what Abraham did. There's no way you miss the point. So going right will mean that you accept, you go into God's perfect plan. Going left means what? You are going. But the God who is still there has a plan for there. What will he do? He will go on a rescue mission to bring you back from here, back here. Did you get that? Does it make it easier for you to explain? Praise God. Praise God. Say, I'm born of God. She's like, oh, well, you are laughing. You now bought Sprite because it looks like water. That's your own Isa. Are we together? So God now decided, so it means that God is a very loving father, that when man does evil, he will take responsibility and take the first step. Are we together? So what did God do? Man was just going there. They were going. What did he do? He came in his walk and interrupted mankind. And we channeled their direction back to his initial plan. Are we getting that? So man needed help. That is the helpmeet. That's the Isa. Now remember what we were saying. Remember yesterday we spoke about calling upon the name of the Lord. What is the solution to calling upon the name of the Lord? Deliverance, redemption. Are we together? So it means that there was now a generation that began to call upon the name of the Lord for help in this direction. Are you here? Are we here? Mankind was in a direction. Right? A group of people began to call upon the name of the Lord. That has now come into fulfillment by the what? Promise of the seed, which is now revealed. Which starts with what? Incarnation. Hallelujah. So go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 1. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now let's read verse 2 together. Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
On the seventh day, God made the world which he had made, and he rested the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Can God be tired? Can God be tired? So was it God that needed rest? Who needed rest? Man needed rest. Let me explain that a little for us, right? So what is rest? The word rest is the word Sabbath. The word rest is the word Sabbath. Sabbath. I'll spell it for us. S-A-B-A-T-H. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. Or S-H-A-B-A-T-H. Yes. Shabbat. Sabbath. Shabbat. It's a word that implies to cease or to stop. But we need to explain it in the context of how the Bible uses the word. So Sabbath is a word as used in Moses or used in scriptures to explain man's rest in God's work. Please take note of that. I'll explain that to us from Hebrews chapter 3. So he explains man's rest in God's work. What is God's work? His work of salvation, his work of resurrection. Go to Hebrews 3. Are you learning something? Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, 7. Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your what? Harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What is Hebrews showing you? He's giving an example of those who harden their hearts. Where were they? In the wilderness. Were you in the wilderness? Beautiful. When your fathers tempted me, they proved me and saw my works 40 years. Now, verse 10 says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. What does it mean to err? To be led astray in your knowledge or experience. Right? So they err in their heart and they have not known my words. So verse 11, let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I saw in my rod, they shall not enter into my what? Rest. Hebrews 3:12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Beautiful. In departing from what? The living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of what? Sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Now, verse 16 says, for some when they had heard, are we together? For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was he not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest? But to them that believe not. So what does it mean that I swear you will not enter to my rest? It means that your unbelief will cause you not to enter into my rest. In case you are not sure, look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter into the rest because of what? Unbelief. So unbelief means not to enter into rest. What is rest? Rest means to enter into his work. Right? You cease from your labor and enter into his work. Be a partaker of his work. He now says in chapter 4, verse 1, Hebrews 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel what? As well as what? So was the gospel preached to them? So what gospel do you think was preached to them? The gospel of Christ, gospel of what? In the context of what we are reading, gospel of rest. Are we together? So Moses preached the gospel of rest to them, but their evil heart of unbelief did not allow them enter into the rest. Are we here? Are we gone? Are we here? Are we gone? So for unto us was the gospel preached, as it were unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. So when you say God rested, Moses was teaching about how man was to find himself associated with what? God's rest. Not that God just created the universe. You see, you know that, let me show that to say in this series, the use of rest was communicated to mankind by Moses. Are we together? God does not need to rest. Did you get that? God does not need to rest. Even the 7 days creation was something. Okay. So look at verse. Look at verse 3. For we which I believe do enter into rest. So have we entered into rest? Say, I've entered into rest. Beautiful. So, but you know, you must use Bible terms in Bible context. This rest now doesn't mean that, oh, I don't preach the gospel again, I just rest. I don't preach again, I just rest, you know. We've entered into our rest to labor. Do you understand? We've entered into our rest to labor. Beautiful. Yeah? So, he says that we have entered into rest because we have believed. Although the works, I mean verse 3, were finished from the what? From the what? Foundation of the world. Is that from the beginning? Is that Genesis? So it means that from beginning, God's plan has been his plan of rest. Are we together? Look at Acts 7:49. Acts 7:49. It says, heaven is my what? And the earth is my. And some of us believe that God uses the whole earth as just his footstool. God just put his leg like this. But think, just think a little. What you call heaven, which is the sky, is it not on earth? So if heaven, which you call where his throne is on earth, yet his footstool is earth. What's so confusing us? The heaven you call heaven, which is the sky, is on earth. It means that you leave this sky, you go into space. But heaven is on earth. That can only be correct if heaven was outside earth. In your mind. In our small mind. So we want to look at heaven, right? So, but look at what it says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? That's reading from Isaiah 61 verse 1. Look at Isaiah 61:1 quickly. Isaiah 66:1 rather. Oh, God is so good, though. Look at Isaiah 61, 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. So where is Acts teaching from? The Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? Are we together? Are we together? So, where do you suppose that God's, where do you suppose is God's place of rest? Remember John 14 verse 2, it says, my father has many what? Mansions. The word there, mansion, is the Greek word mone. It's a word that means a place where you stay to rest, to continue a journey. Mone. Right? So when I say something like that, what do? You admire me? Just things down. So in my father's house are many mansions. The word there, mansion, is the word mone, and it's a word that speaks about a place where someone rests to continue a journey. So it means that mankind is the place where God rests to continue his journey. What is the journey? How would the journey be done? In and through us. So in my father's house are many dwelling places, so many mansions, many cliffs. Is that true? Many cliffs in the rock. So, rest is Moses' way of communicating God in man and man in God. Important to jot down. Rest is Moses' way of communicating God in man and man in God. Moses is a very interesting writer. Moses used rest to communicate God in man and man in God. That is man trusting in God's work. So, I want to play with your minds right now from Genesis, right? I'll say it again. Moses used rest to teach about, or it was a way of communicating God in man and man in God. Now let me put it to your minds a little, right? The tree of life in Genesis, is that the image of God? The tree of life in Genesis, is it the image of God? Is it the light of God? Is it the seed of God? Are we here? Is it the rest of God? See now, wow. So the image of God is the rest of... So Moses was communicating the same thing with different ideologies. The Adam that fell into a deep sleep, is that the tree of life? The Adam that fell into a deep sleep, is that the tree of life? The Adam that fell into a deep sleep, is that Isa? The Isa, is it the image of God? The image of God, is it the seed? The seed, is it the light? The light, is it the rest? Did you get that? So can you see how Moses used a lot of things to communicate the same truth? The rest, is it the Spirit of God that hovered? Is it the Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the deep, over the waters, that brings light to darkness? Hallelujah. So, it means that in Genesis, Moses used a lot of imageries and figurative expressions to communicate the same truths. Moses uses the tree of, or uses a lot of images and parables, heavy parables, to communicate the same truths. Moses uses heavy parables to communicate the same truths. So you see tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, is speaking about God gave man a choice. So, did God have a promise of eternal life from the beginning? Did God offer it to man? Did man reject it? How did he reject it? By eating of the tree which he was asked not to eat of. How did he eat? In his heart. Disobedience. Are we together? So it's like God, it is that God had a plan from the beginning, but considered man's choice. Are we together? So what now happens by what Adam did? Adam in his actions set a template that mankind followed. We have started our series now. Adam in his action set a template that mankind followed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Adam in his actions set a template that mankind followed. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Adam in his approach, in his action, set a template for mankind to follow. So Ephesians 2 verse 1, and ye had he quickened, hallelujah, who were dead in what? And what? Yes, did he say you were dead in Adam? Did he say you were dead in Adam? Did he say you had he quickened who were dead in Adam? Look at it again. You had he quickened who were dead in what? Trespasses are sin. Now, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The word there, course of this world, is the word system or activities. Yeah, the word there, cosmos, world, we deal with about activities. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The word there, walked, is to follow or to be associated with. So we walked. The word their work is to follow according or to be associated with. We walk in according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The word their pneuma is the word spirit. Remember our teaching of 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spirituals, what is spirituals? Pneumaticos, pneuma spirit. Spirit, yeah? So the spirit that worketh, Ephesians 2. Yeah, the spirit that walketh in the children of disobedience, which is the prince of the power of the air. So can you see how Bible words need to be explained in context? Did you get that? So it's like us now standing up and now saying, you know, pneuma is in me. Pneuma is in me. Today, pneuma is here. What did you just do? You used the Greek word pneuma and assumed it means the Spirit of God everywhere. The same thing, you know, like we explained in our last seminar, Zoe. Zoe is not the life of God, right? Remember that? Yeah, so you cannot use Zoe and just assume that that is the life of God. No, Zoe is a borrowed word to teach about the life of God. If you look at scripture, you see different other places where it talks about Zoe as the life of the physical earth. Are we together? So, the same way you cannot take pneuma to say that is this. So, pneuma does not absolutely mean Spirit of God. It is the context in which pneuma is used that qualifies if it is the Spirit of the air or Spirit of God. So, he says that according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit that now worketh in you, is it in you? Children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. Now, that conversation, is that the same thing as walked? In verse 2, right? So it says verse 2, ye walked according. Verse 3, ye had your conversation in time past in the what? Lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Let me ask you a question. That nature, is it a nature you receive by birth, or a nature you accumulate or develop having walked? So your walk is what determines that nature. Are we together? So the question now becomes, what did Adam do? We've established that Adam rejected God's promise of what? Life. So it means that Adam in his action set a template for man. So let me ask you a question. Ephesians 2 verse 2, when it says you were dead in trespasses and sins, who created an atmosphere to be dead in trespasses and sins? Beautiful. When it says you walked in time past according to the course of this world, who developed that cause of this world? Man, right? Adam, right? So when it says that the children of disobedience, right? We had our conversation in time after in the lust of our flesh. Who developed that conversation? Mankind, right? Adam. Yeah, does this look familiar to James 1? Sin conceived brings forth, or lust conceived brings forth what? Sin. And sin what? Death. Now let's look at something very, very important to our teaching. Romans 5 verse 12. Now, let's read Romans 5 verse 12. Let's start our study now. Amen. Romans 5 verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Therefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Hold on. Did sin enter into this world from God? What did he say? As by one man, sin entered. Yeah, who is that one man? Adam. Now, let's look at a little study in those verses. The word there, entered, is the word that means to enter for the first time or to enter a place where it wasn't before. Are we together? So, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by what? Sin. The word entered means to enter for the first time. So who was the first person that allowed sin to enter into the world? So did God create sin? Okay. So sin entered. Now the word there, world, is the word cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. K-O-S-M-O-S. It's a word usually used to speak about cosmotic arrangement or, you know, the activities or affairs of the earth, of the world. Write that down, importantly. The word there, world, is cosmos. Often used to speak about the cosmetic arrangement of the earth or inhabitants of the earth or the activities of the inhabitants of the earth or the activities of the earth or of the world. So, sin entered into the world. It means that sin wasn't in the activity of this world before Adam sinned. Is that clear? Do I need to explain that? Beautiful. So I said again, the word there, world, speaks about the activities or, you know, a lot of time refers to the inhabitants or the cosmotic arrangements, cosmic arrangements. Yeah. So sin wasn't in the activities of this world before Adam sinned. What God created was good, right? Beautiful. So in Genesis chapter 3, we now see sin amongst the activities of men in this world. So, Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world, right? And death by sin. Remember, we started this teaching by saying something this morning. Sin is what? Man-made. Death is what? Sin-made. Did you get that? Right? Now, the word their death passed upon. Please, this will help you a little. The word their death passed upon. Let's look at that, those words a little. The word their death is the word Thanatos. Thanatos. Romans 5 verse 12. Thanatos. Thanatos. And it's from the Greek or the root word Thnesko. Nesko. Nesko. Yeah, Thnesko. Nesko. Tnesko. Nesko. Tnesko. Just pronounce it anyhow, the Syrian leads you. Thnesko. Thn. You know, it doesn't have, you cannot pronounce it easily. At least you spelled it now, you've seen. But that the word was used in John 11, 22. Write that down. John 11, 22. John 11, 20, 39. John 11, 22. So how do you write that? John 11, verse 22, comma, 39, comma, 41 to 44. Acts 14, 19, rather. Acts 14, 19. 1 Timothy 5, 6. So the word there, death. That's the word there used, death. So death passed upon. The word there passed, right, is the word that is diekomiai. I'll spell it for us again. Past is the word diekomai, which is D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. And it's a word that's used about across or through. Or let me say it this way. The word there, die, is the word across or through. While the word ekomai means to come from one place to another. Look at Matthew's Gospel 12:43. Die ekomia means to come from one place to another, while the word die is across or through. So when I'm teaching Luke 24, I say die emanio. Die emanio. Emanio is about explanation. Die speaks about to or across. Deals with a point to another. Are we together? Look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. That is, he walks from a point to another. Acts 9:32, quickly. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. That means he ekomiai, that is from one place to another. Same word you have in Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good. Went about. Yeah, went about. So can you see, it's a word usually used for journeying. Did you get that? The word ekomiai, that ekomiai deals with a journey. A journey across or journey through. If you notice with all this explanation we gave, John 4:4 and John 4:13, you can write that also later, is never used for an instantaneous act, but a gradual movement from a place to another. I'll say it again. Yeah? It's never used, John 4:4, John 4:30, Acts 10:38, Acts 9:32, Matthew 12:43. So, it's the word diakomia is not by used for an instantaneous act, but actually a progressive gradual movement from a place to another. So he says, death passed upon. The word there upon speaks about two words, or it shows a progression. So death passed upon all men. Let me ask you a question. Was Adam's sin passed upon all men? Was Adam's sin passed upon all men by procreation? Are all men sinners because of Adam's sin? Let me ask you a question. Did Hebrews record Abel in scriptures as a man of faith? Why did he call Abel a sinner? So if Abel, one, the direct child of Adam, is not called a sinner, yeah, to call yourself, we are all sinners. Brethren, you know we are all sinners. The Bible says, If you call yourself, or if you say you are not a sinner, you make God a liar. Brethren, who are we sinner with you? Okay. Did I just say that men don't fall short? No. But Adam's sin did not make man sinners or all men sinners by procreation. Are we together? Men would have to walk according to the course of the word that Adam set. Where am I teaching from? Ephesians 2. Are we together? Man will walk according to the course of this word, which is now the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, which is now in the children of what? Disobedience. Are we together? So Adam was called a man of faith, righteous man. Cain was called a wicked one. Is that true? Yeah, Jude tells us that Cain was a wicked one. Why do you suppose one is called, now how many children, no, Cain and Abel, right? One is called wicked, one is called a man of faith. What is unique to both of them? Their choices. Cain is called a wicked one, not because he's the procreated being of Adam. He's called a wicked one because of his choice to express that wickedness. Abel is called a man of faith because of his choice to have faith in the promise. Are we here? Are we here? So both of them had their individual what? Actions. So what did Adam do to mankind? Adam set a template for sin. Did you get that? Adam set a template for sin. So when Adam started with that first sin of unbelief, what happened? He still lived for 930 years. So what happens to him? His death will mean that he was without the life of God. So if you read Genesis chapter 1, which should we do that? Look at Genesis 1:11. Let's run to Genesis 1:11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Are we here? Have we gone? Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after what? Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding fruit after what? His kind. Look at verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. After what? After their what? Their kind. Look at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after what? His kind. Look at verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after what? And cattle after what? And everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth after? So, and God said, so it means that God in the creation put a template for procreation. Please write that down. God already set a principle for procreation. Trees reproduce after their kind. Animals after their kind. Man after their kind. Let me now, what I want to say next now will help you a little, okay? So, God set a principle for procreation, but Moses used those principles to communicate another truth. Did you get that? Yeah? So, before they say, okay. So, if God set a... Let me ask you a question. So, if God wanted lions to produce after their kind, right? And God wanted mango trees to produce after their kind, Adam will produce after what? His kind. But now the question now becomes, so did Adam produce after his kind? He did. Genesis 5. After his image and what? Likeness. So, the body of death that man gets, where did man get the body of death? From who? Adam now. So, mankind was to produce after his kind. It will mean that Adam will produce after his kind. Remember I said you should write something in capital letter in your notes. What did I say you should write about Adam? Adam was a unique man. Now, important very note. So it means that Adam's physical body will produce after what? Its kind. Are we together? So man will sleep with woman and produce after their kind. So what does Romans 5? Go to Romans 5. Romans 5. Let's see what Romans 5 now tells you. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the what? World, and death by what? Sin. So let me ask you a question. When Adam sinned, what did he take upon himself? Mortality? What was Adam to receive? By not receiving immortality, what did he receive? Did you get that? So, what body will Adam pass on to others? Did you get that? Did you get that? Adam was given a choice, and that choice, or in his making of a choice, it will set a template for others or mankind to follow. Are we together? So it means that Adam took upon himself mortality. So that means he became subject to death. Is that true? Is that true? Did Adam become subject to death? Being subject to death, is that a repercussion of sin?
Yes.
Beautiful. So death, so if sin entered and death is the result of sin, it means death entered by sin. Are we here?
Yes.
Death entered by sin. Sin entered by man. So it means that death came into existence by the repercussion of sin, which by extension is repercussion of man's action. Are we together? So it means that Adam, who is also, or Adam was to procreate after his kind in the physical body. Did you get that? Did you get that? Adam was to reproduce after his kind in the physical body. That's why Paul now tells you, death passed upon all men. Let's pay attention to that a little. So Adam procreated in his own likeness. Can we say that likeness is mortality? Beautiful. Are we together? The likeness is mortality. Are we together? So Adam procreated after his kind, his own likeness, his own image, mortality in the body, as against the one the second Adam will do. So let me ask you a question. Adam procreates, and everybody Adam procreates inherits mortal body. Everybody Jesus procreates inherits what? Immortal, immortality, eternal life. Did you see that? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Adam as the first Adam, Jesus as the second Adam. In the procreation of Adam, you will see mortality as extended over men by his actions. But in the procreation of Jesus, by his same actions, immortality is extended over men. I'll say it again. Adam, in his procreation, you see the body will be inherited. Mortality will be passed across or communicated across the men, or across men, or across mankind. Are we together? So the action, that's why you now see Paul now tells you by the disobedience of one man. He now tells you the obedience of another man. Remember, like I told you, this part of this series is something we need to do a full series on. Are we together? And subsequently, in the next maybe 10 years. So it's important to note that, remember, like we said, death is primarily a separation of life. Please note that also. Death is primarily a separation of the life or the Spirit of God from man. Remember, death is primarily about a separation from a life. Did you get that? Now, remember, we started talking about something. So let's use the conventional phrases that we use. Adam died spiritually. Hello? Is that spiritual death? Did Adam die spiritually? What is his death? It just seems, so you must look at death in view of separation of life, or with the spirit or without the spirit. You see, when they say death, don't always think of someone that just lies on the floor and is not moving. Death is first primarily the separation, or to be with life or to be without life. Did you get that? So it will mean that what happened to Adam, he was without life. Is that spiritual death? Because he was without the life of God. Did you get that? So it means that death will first be a separation of the spirit of man from the spirit of God before the separation of the spirit of man from the spirit of man. Please follow. I'll say it again. Death will primarily and first be, as seen in scriptures, as the separation of the spirit of man. Rather, I'll say it again. Death will primarily be the separation of the spirit of God from man, which is what you put in the bracket, spiritual death. Death will primarily be the separation of the spirit of God from man, that is to be without the spirit of God, before it is now spoken about as the separation of the spirit of man from the spirit of man. Did you get that? Death will primarily be the separation of God, or the separation of the spirit of God from man, before it will now be the separation of the spirit of what? Man from the body of man. Okay, you got it now. Yeah, so death will primarily be first the separation of the spirit of God from man, then separation before it becomes the separation of the spirit of man from body of man. Is that what happened in Genesis? First of all, Adam was in separation from the spirit of God. Then you now see he lived for 930 years. Then he became what? He died. What does die mean? The spirit of man is now separated from the spirit of, or the body of man. Let me show you something in James 2:26. So it means that when God said, if you eat of this tree, you will die. The word die there is the Greek Hebrew word mut. And it's a word that means dying, die. Please take note of that. The word there, mut, is the word there that means dying, die. So it means that a man will experience death, or a man will understand death by dying or by his experience. I'll say it again. The word there, mut, is the word that speaks about dying, die. Mut. So let me ask you a question now. Finish writing that one. What did I say again? A word that speaks about dying, die. So man will understand death by what? Experience, by dying. Let me now give an example. Two brothers, please come. Come, brother, sister. Okay. Oh, no, finish writing. Don't worry. Writing. Let me not distract you. Brian, you could come, please. Are you finished writing? Which of you want to play the role of unbeliever now?
Me.
You. So if this is our unbeliever and this is our believer, now remember, the gospel is preached to both of them. He receives the gospel and he rejects the gospel. Are they still alive?
Yes.
Beautiful. So now, when this brother who rejects the gospel dies, remember, before he dies, he has been in constant separation from God's spirit. Let's say this is God's spirit, the Bible. Yeah? So he has been in separation from this spirit. He has received the Spirit of God, so he's not in separation of God's Spirit. So when he dies, right, he has died.
Double died.
Do you understand? So he will sleep on the earth and will bury him before he dies. Did you get that? So in dying, die. So in his dying, he is dead. Understood? In his own dying, he is dead. Because he doesn't have a life that will make him live eternally. Now, this brother, in his dying, he will live. Why? Because he has the what? Spirit of God. So, what was Adam's position? Adam's position was here, minus the fact that you say, okay, minus the fact that you talk about unbelief. So, Adam's position was here. God preached the gospel of the Spirit to him. But he repelled it. So either we understand what he repelled by his death at age 930. Did you get that? So in dying, he will die. What happens to him? The same gospel is preached unto him. And because Now, the reason why it can never be redeemed is because when you die out of this flesh, you don't have a rented life to make the choice of eternal life again. Are we together? Remember, the first biological life of Adam was so that it was a rent so that he can receive what? Immortality. So he right now, who rejects the gospel, what happens to him? He remains in that state forever. What happens to him? Even though he dies, he will still what? Come alive. Now sit down. Do you understand that? Does it make it clear? Look at James 2 verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Amen. Do you explain that? So this brother now, the first brother that was here, in the fact that he was breathing, he was dead. Are we together? Dead unto who? God. The fact that he is separated from God's life. James 2:26. Don't be tired, we just begun. No, now think about it. Everything I've been saying since I've not mentioned about Jesus' death. I was talking about Jesus' death. Then we're talking about the resurrection, then ascension. All this what we are doing is to lay an understanding for what is happening or what has been happening on the earth. You understand later that, oh, these things will make sense when we now start teaching about Jesus' death. So when we now teach about the death of Jesus as spiritual, it will make sense to you. Right? So, the death of Jesus as spiritual. Remember, you must first understand death as a separation. If you say Jesus' death was spiritual in the fact that his spirit died, it means that God died. Life cannot die. Are you getting it? So, when you say Jesus died spiritual death, you are correct and not correct. Can you understand how what I'm explaining now will help you then? Because I've tried to teach you what death is, the angle you must view death. You must view death first from the angle of what? The man who is without the spirit or in separation. Are we here? So follow attentively, right? So look at James 6 and James 2, 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without what? Works is what? Dead. Now go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 14. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Yeah. Say, God is good. Remember, death will first be a separation from the spirit of God, from man. Do you remember that? Before it becomes separation of the spirit of man, from man. Let me say it again. Death will first be the separation of the spirit of God from man before it now becomes what? Separation of man's spirit from man. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the spirit of God. The word they are led is the word they are A-G-O. And it's the word that speaks about being translated from a point to another point. So, Romans 8 verse 14 is not primarily speaking about what? The leading of the Spirit in your day-to-day activity. Remember, you check my words well. It is not primarily what? The leading of the Spirit. So, the reason why we say a believer can never lack the leading of God is because he has been led. Did you get that? The believer can never lack the leading of God because he has been what? Led. So, for many as are led, the word there, ajo, is like a word that means to be brought forth. So, for as many as are brought forth by what? The Spirit of God. Why do you suppose you are brought forth? It's because you were spiritually dead. What is death? The separation of God's Spirit from man. Are you getting it? For as many as have been brought forth by the Spirit. So, we are born from the womb of the Spirit. Say amen.
Amen.
Right? It's not a prayer though. They are what? The sons of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. But ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Father, Father. Daddy, Daddy. Verse 16. The Spirit himself
Are you there? Can it be it? Spirit is a him.
So the Spirit himself beareth witness with our what? Spirit, that we are the what? Children of what? God. So verse 17 now says, and if children, is it if children? You are getting it, right? So, and since children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now look at verse 18. Let me explain this again. For I reckon that the what? Sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the endless expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, this is not talking about how you become president. I will explain it to you. Yeah, the endless expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. For the creature were made subject to what? Vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of what? Corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So, the deliverance into the glorious liberty of the children of God, is that the manifestation of the sons of God? Please follow. I've taught on this before, right? Verse 22 now says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of the what? Body. For we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we shall see not, but if we hope for that which we see not, that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? He now says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our what? Infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. That's the word there, wish. Right? The word there, pray, is to wish, not to prayer point. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what? Uttered. Let me explain that again quickly. Right? My two brothers, come again, please. Do you still mind to be a non-believer?
Don't worry,
I started already. So the gospel is preached to both of them. He rejects. In receiving the gospel, he receives life. What happens? The Spirit of God in him is an immortal spirit. Are we together? Please come here, both of you. Come closer, yeah? So, the Spirit of God in him is an immortal spirit. His spirit is in him. Are we together? That means he doesn't have the Spirit of God. So, the Spirit of God in him, one day, this mortal body will take on immortality. And what will now happen? He will live forever. That living forever is the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the Spirit of God in him is fixed and boxed to a mortal body, flesh. Are we together? So, the Spirit of God in him is boxed in a mortal body. He now says, the Spirit of God helpeth our what? Infirmity. For the body knows not what it should wish for, so that it can accommodate the immortal body. But the Spirit maketh intercession. How is his intercession done? By his living forever. Hebrews 7:25. Are we together? So his living forever in him is a groaning that is done. Why? Because the spirit of immortality is not ideally supposed to live in mortality. So it is groaning. Are we together? So the groaning in him, so the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us, therefore we know not what we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. What is intercession? So his living already is a proof that one day mortality will be swallowed up by immortality. Which is what you now call what? So what did he now tell you in verse 16, 17, 18? He says that if our hope is based on what we see, then it is not hope. But because we cannot see the Spirit of God in him like this, what happened? We call it, we are saved by hope. So that hope which you believe in is what will now swallow up immortality, you know, eventually, and what? Begin to live forever. But for him right now, he doesn't have the Spirit. Right? So what's the only groaning he can go through? Eh? Without be. mortal pain. Okay. The kind of groanings they can grow for are quite numerous. Heartbreak. Won't you groan? What is sapa? Sapa is the Greek way. I'll shock you the next time. So his body will not groan. Why? Because he doesn't have a spirit. Are we together? So go back to Romans 5 again. Romans 8 again. So he says, we have been led by the Spirit. It means we have been brought forth by the Spirit. Look at how Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians 4, 15. 2 Corinthians 15. Or 1 Corinthians 15, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Do you get that? Brian, you please come back because I don't want to believe. So let's read that together. So also is the what? Resurrection of the dead. It is sown in what? It is raised in what? So when he dies, that is corrupted body. What will come alive? Incorrupted body. So he raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, raised in what? Glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? Power. It is sown in natural body. Is it natural? Is it natural? Yeah, and it is raised in what? Spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual what? So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Then the last Adam was made a what? Quickening spirit. So the Spirit of God right now that lives in him, the Spirit by which he was brought forth, is what will quicken his mortal body. Are we together? Are we together? So what did Paul mean? Look at verse 53. Look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Brethren, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, oblige, and we shall be what? Changed. 53. For this corruption must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is what? Death is what? So, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He now says, the sting of death is what? Sin. The strength of sin is what? The law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the last enemy of God, look at verse 15. What verse does that say? I said, you see, right? No, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. If you go back to verse, look at verse 26. Or look at verse 25. For he must reign, right? Till he had put all his enemies under his... Are we here? Verse 26. Let's use 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. So the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. So is death an enemy of God? So death, God could not have created his enemy. Oh, glory to God. Are we together? Death is the enemy of God. So God could not have created what? His enemy. So the last enemy of God that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Praise God. Praise God. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subdued unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Are we together? Are we together? So death passed unto men is the last enemy of God. Are we together? Are we together? So when it says death passed upon all men, right? It means that what Adam did was what allowed, what Adam did was a sin. Sin entered, then death entered. So because death entered, Adam now transferred that body to his what? Procreated beings. His upstream, or upspring. So please write this down. The death of the physical body of man into bracket, the absence of man's spirit from the body of man. The death of the physical body of man, that is the absence of man's spirit from the body of man, can simply be seen as the physical demonstration of death, which is spiritual. I'll say it again, okay? The death of the physical body of man, what does death of the physical body of man mean? It means the separation of man's spirit from man's body. Can simply be seen as a physical demonstration of death, which is what? Spiritual. What is spiritual death? Absence of God's spirit, absence of God's life in man. I'll say it again. The death of the physical body of man, that is the absence of man's spirit from the body of man, can simply be seen as a physical demonstration of death, which is spiritual. What is spiritual? The absence of God's spirit from the life of man, upon man. Hence, death in essence is spiritual. First, however, the death of the physical explains the spiritual. I'll say that again. Okay? The death of the physical body of man, that is the separation of man's spirit from the man's body, can be seen as a physical demonstration of death in the real sense, which is spiritual. Yeah, what is spiritual death? The absence of God's spirit from man, right? So hence, death in essence is first spiritual, like you see in Adam, a separation. However, the death of the physical explains the death of the spiritual. The death of the physical now brings it home. Remember, man will understand death by his experience. What is death? To be without a life. So in Jesus, the death will, in the death of Jesus, it means that he laid aside his privileges as God for his body to be subject to death. He laid aside his privileges as God for his body to experience death. It means that look at it, though, remember. Remember. Now let me ask you a question. Now remember I said Adam was not born with mortality or immortality. Are we together? How do you suppose Jesus was born? So now, Jesus' death was really the absence of God's power, right? Are we together? Who killed God? Who killed Jesus? Men. Right? Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. Are we together? So God now took on the form of flesh. That flesh he took upon. What kind of flesh did he take upon? Now remember that Jesus wasn't born from the seed of a man. So Adam was unique. Jesus was unique. So the death of Jesus was Jesus leaving his privileges as God for his body to experience what? Death. Are we together? Matthew 27:46. So it means that Jesus handed over his body to what? Death. Are we here? Remember, what is death? It's separation from. So Jesus handed over his body to death. So death must have been. So it means that the death of Jesus must have been spiritual. But you must understand spiritual death from the concept of separation. Are we here? So if they ask you, was Jesus' death spiritual? Can you say yes and no? As long as you explain it. What is spiritual death? The separation from God's spirit from man's body. Did Jesus die spiritually? Yes, there was a separation from God himself from the body. He submitted, because if God did not submit himself to mortality, the spirit of God, which is God, can never allow that body to die. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? God is life. If God did not submit, did not choose out of his volition to allow that his flesh to experience death, that body will live forever. Why? Because God is life. If God houses a belief, so it's like the believer, for instance. The believer receives the gospel. Look at it this way. This man was without the gospel. He heard the gospel. Life came. Yet in hearing the gospel, the Spirit of God will not allow, or if he doesn't take care of this body, he can die. But there's going to be a quickening up of that body. Did you get that? What happens to this man who dies without the gospel, believing the gospel? He is dead spiritually. What is dead spiritually? To be separate, a separation. Now look at Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying what? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. The word there, forsaken, means to abandon or to leave behind. So what is the abandoning? The abandoning is the separation. What is the abandoning? The abandoning is to be without. So it means that the physical body of Jesus was without the influence of the immortality of God. Are you getting it? The physical body of Jesus, yeah, was without the influence, and it was God that chose it to be that way. God, who is eternal, decided not to allow the influence of eternity to rub off on the flesh. So I'm going to give us 10 minutes break. Thank you. See you soon.